Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 35 through 41 in just a second. With all the rain that we've had this week and really over the last year, we've seen some storms happen. We've seen some things come through that can be a little scary. Statistically, last year was the second wettest year on record. I don't think I'm exaggerating to say that we may be ahead of that pace this year compared to last year. So the last 14 or so months, it's been a very rainy time. Tuesday a week ago, not this past Tuesday, but Tuesday before that, I was down in Atlanta making a hospital visit, and later that day, we had some storms come through that created some damage in the Atlanta area. But as I was making my way back from the hospital that day and heading up 75 north, I could see the clouds to the north and west of me as I'm making my way back up. And literally as I'm going along, it's starting to rain just a little bit. But as I got to about Cobb County, I could see the rain in front of me. And I could see brake lights everywhere as they were getting into that rain. And then when I got to that, I knew exactly why the brake lights were on, because it was raining very hard at that point. Literally went from normal speed limit speed down to 35, 40 miles an hour because it was so heavy. At that point, storms come in life. And the reality is, so many times, 99.9% of the time, there's no way around it. So we have to travel through them. They may slow us down. Sometimes they spin us out and wreck us, if we're just being honest. But if we'll look to God in the storms, we can learn and grow. Now, this morning, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together in a little while. And we're going to be reminded of a storm that Christ faced for us. All that he went through, all the persecution he went through leading up to his crucifixion and then the crucifixion. But then ultimately we know he was victorious as he walked out of the grave, claiming the victory over sin and the grave. But we have God's help when we face storms because of what Christ did on the cross. And we're going to celebrate that in the Lord's Supper and sharing that together. But I want us to take a look at some scripture this morning that reminds us about some lessons we can learn from the storm. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And if you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for amazing grace. We thank you that your word is not a truth among many truths, but is the truth, absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds to hear from you this morning, that we may apply your truth in our life. Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, and that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious, powerful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want us to examine three lessons that we learn from the storm. Three lessons that we learn from the storm. First of all, we see God put you there. Whenever you find yourself in the storm, God put you there. We just read the text and it's clear that it was Jesus' idea for them to cross over to the other side of the sea. Now, I don't honestly know for sure how much Jesus knew and understood about the future and things around him when he was in his human form, but I know he was fully human and fully God at the same time. I also know this. Because there was no sin in his life, and because of the fact that he had perfect communion with the Father, that he knew more than you and I know. Because sin hinders us. Sin keeps us from having that fellowship with the Father the way that we could have it. Jesus, I feel confident in saying, knew what was about to transpire, knew what was about to come for his disciples through this storm. I don't think he was out of the loop on this in any way, shape, or form, but either way, God had a plan for them in this storm, and it was no accident that they were on the Sea of Galilee that evening. When you find yourself in storms in your life, you have to realize that God is either the one who put you there or allowed you to be there. I'm convinced there are generally two types of storms in life. There are storms of perfection and storms of correction. Sometimes we enter storms because we need correcting. Sometimes we've gotten into sin, we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, and God allows us to experience the consequences as a result of that sin, and we find ourselves in the middle of the storm because God's trying to get our attention to get out of that. If you don't think that's so, then you need to probably tear the whole story of Jonah out of your Bible. Because Jonah was out of God's will. Jonah was rebelling against God. When God said, go to Nineveh, he said, you know what? I don't like Nineveh this time of year. I'm going to Tarshish. Now, he hated the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to be around them, so he was being rebellious toward God. And what did he find? He found himself in the belly of a great fish. Now, we don't know. It's probably a whale or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what kind of fish for sure it was. It was big enough to hold a man. You know, it's amazing how much better his hearing got inside that fish. Are you with me here? Are you tracking with me? I'm afraid sometimes when we find ourselves in the belly of the fish is because we're not hearing so well and we need a little time in the fish so that our ears get open so that we listen to God a little better. Sometimes we find ourselves in storms of correction. But the other kind of storm is the storm of perfection. You see, sometimes God allows events, allows storms to come into our life, not because we're out of God's will, but because he's growing us. If Romans 8:28 is true, and it is, then we know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Therefore, when we find ourselves in storms, right in the middle of God's will, God has a plan and a purpose for those storms, and he is growing us and making us better through the storm. The truth is, if we don't have that testing, if we don't find ourselves in those storms, we're not going to grow. We're not going to be strengthened. God was growing the disciples that day. They had no idea what was going on. God was strengthening them. He was helping them see that something different about the Messiah, about the Son of God, that they didn't know yet. And he allowed them to go into the middle of that storm to experience that. God was giving them a visual illustration of his power and their need to trust him. Now, we're going to delve a little bit more into that in a moment. But nevertheless, the disciples were in one of those storms of perfection for their own good and their own growth. Many of you, most of you, have heard me talk about case knives before. And some of you, quite frankly, I'm sure are sick of it. I'm sorry. But I'm going to talk about them again this morning. And one of the things that Case Knives on their logo, they have a double X. Now I have a knife here. I'm sure you can all see on this knife. This is called a doctor's knife. One of our Sunday school classes gave me this knife for pastor appreciation. I appreciate it very much. But this one actually on the bolster here has the double X. That's on Case's logo. You will always find the double X. Well, the story of that double X, if you go to their website, you'll find this out. The history of the trademark goes back to the early days of the W.R. Case & Sons Cutlery Company, when the double X was used as a quality check system during the process of heat treating. When the blades were put through the initial hardening furnace, an X was marked on the pan holding the blades. When the blades were returned to the oven for tempering, a second X was added. The double X then showed that each blade had been properly and fully treated. For the blades to have the durability and quality they needed to be tested, or if you will, treated and tested to make sure that their metal would hold up under use. If we don't go through the storms of life, we'll never have the metal we need to endure life. God wants to grow us spiritually, and we need to be put into the fire sometimes to be tested and tried and strengthened. I know that may be frustrating to consider the fact that God puts us in the storm, but God has a reason for us being in the storm. It is sometimes for correction, other times for perfection, but either way, we can trust God to do his good in our life through those storms. Storms aren't fun, but they're for your good and they're for your growth. You can trust that God has you in that storm to work all things together for your good. That is His promise to us, and we can trust that promise. Let God direct your steps, since He knows what is best for you anyway. So we see the first lesson that we learn from the storm is that God put you there. The second lesson that we learn from the storm is that God is not surprised by the storm. Storms come into our lives and we're surprised, but God knew the storm was coming. When Jesus told the disciples to sail to the other side, I believe He knew the storm was coming. Nevertheless, Jesus went up into the stern or the rear of the boat and put His head down on a pillow and went to sleep. Now, no question that He was tired, and this reminds us of the fact that He was human. Jesus got hungry, He got thirsty, and yes, He even got tired. He was so tired that no matter what was going on around Him, He could go to sleep, and He stayed asleep even though the storm was going crazy. However, I also believe there was a lesson for the disciples that made it necessary for Him to be asleep when this storm came. The waters of the Sea of Galilee are generally fairly calm. Now, I've been on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. It's an amazing location, but this sea that's really more of a large lake shaped somewhat like a harp, if you actually see it on a map. It is 13 miles wide and 7 miles long, but this sea actually sits about 960 feet below sea level. But it's surrounded by highlands, and just to the northeast of this sea is Mount Hermon, and Mount Hermon is over 9,000 feet above sea level. When that cool air from Mount Hermon sweeps down and meets the warm air from the sea, it can erupt into a violent storm. In 1992, one such storm generated 10-foot-tall waves and flooded the city of Tiberias. Long story longer, storms stir up quickly on this sea, and even experienced fishermen can be overwhelmed by how quickly storms come. That evening, we know that at least 4, maybe as many as 7 of the disciples were experienced fishermen. We know Peter, Andrew, James, and John, just from reading the Gospel of Mark, all left their nets to follow Jesus. They were experienced fishermen. They had been out there. They had been through this stuff, and yet these experienced fishermen were frightened by the storm. That tells us a lot. It tells us it was a rough storm. For these seasoned fishermen to be in a panic, it had to be a pretty vicious kind of storm. But look at what they say to Him. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? They're freaking out, okay? So much so that they're not even stopping to think about this dude who had the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They're not thinking about the fact that this guy is the one they're saying something that harsh to. Do you not even care that we're going to die? You know who wasn't frightened? Jesus. You know why? Because He knew the storm was coming. He wasn't surprised by the storm. They're bent out of shape to the point that they're willing to chastise the Son of God for sleeping. But God is always on the job. I don't know what you might be going through right now in your life. I don't know what storm quickly jumped on you and caused you to be completely knocked off course. However, I do know this much. God knew the storm was coming. God had a plan to grow you through that storm. God has never had to say, man, where'd that come from? Not one time. God never had to make a plan B. God is not surprised by the storms that enter your life, and He is more than capable of keeping His promises and never leaving you or forsaking you, even in the middle of the storm. He can handle your honesty about the storm as well. He doesn't expect you to go in the storm and go, thank you, Lord, I love storms. As a matter of fact, if you respond that way, you may have some issues. Saying. But when you do go into the storm, be reminded of the fact that God is not surprised by that storm. You can tell Him you don't like it. However, when you get through fussing at God about your situation, remember His promises. He's working it out for your good. So the first two lessons we learn from the storm is that God put you there, and God's not surprised by the storm. The third lesson that we learn from the storm is that God has authority over the storm. The disciples chastised Jesus for His apparent lack of concern about the storm. How dare He sleep through the storm? Then notice what happens next in verses 39 and 40. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus didn't get up in a panic. He didn't get up and say, "What in the world's going on here?" Jesus got up and he confidently told the winds and the waves to calm down. When he spoke to the wind and the waves, they listened and it got calm. Now, I just tried to put myself mentally in that situation for a minute, and I can't imagine how loud it must have been, how the wind was blowing. I'm sure there was water. The boats were starting to take on water. It was just a scary situation. And I can't imagine how in that previous moment, how crazy it was. And then when Jesus says the word, calm. Now, you know, I thought about that a little bit. And I thought, you know, sometimes if you have a loud engine running and you shut it off, it takes a little bit of time for it to kind of wind down. Not a long time, just a couple of seconds. And it's still. Then I thought about, you know, when you have the TV on and then all of a sudden a commercial comes on and it's 10 times louder than the show you were just watching. And the first thing I want to do is reach over and grab the remote and hit mute. And it goes from that really loud volume to nothing. Okay, imagine 1,000 TVs. You have one remote that controls all of them. You hit mute and they all go silent at once. I think that's probably a little closer to what they experienced that day. It was loud, it was overbearing, it was frightening, and then all of a sudden, you know, even as I thought about it, I don't even think they had to wait for what you and I normally would have to wait for, the water continuing to roll a little bit. I think it went placid, flat, calm immediately when Jesus spoke. That's the power of the God that we serve. I remember the first church that I pastored, someone in my church knew gospel singer Quentin Mills, so they had worked it out to have him come and do a concert at our church. Our little bitty country church had a gymnasium. It was a simple gymnasium, a finished concrete floor and a kitchen and bathrooms and a stage on one side. And that's where he did the concert. And I'll never forget sitting there and he was singing one of my favorite gospel songs, Midnight Cry. And he's in that line of the song when it says, "When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air." And in the middle of singing that phrase, apparently he had worked it out with his sound guy ahead of time that in the middle of that phrase, they had it timed out perfectly that the sound shut off and he stopped singing immediately. I mean, from this big moment, this loud music going on, and then to nothing. And then he stopped and said, and that's how quickly Jesus can come back. And then he went on to preach for an hour and didn't finish the song. I was so upset. Seriously, when Jesus stopped the wind and the waves, he had their attention. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They thought he didn't care. But he was in control the whole time. When things are overwhelming us and we think that God has left us, we need to step back and remember that we can trust God to see us through the storm. You can't trust your feelings. You will always deceive yourself with your feelings. If you're running on your feelings, it's going to mess you up. You have to step back and trust God's promises because God says he will be there. God says he will see you through. Listen, I'm not marginalizing or minimalizing your storm. I realize storms are awful. They're not fun. But I would not, even for a moment, lie to you about the power of the God we serve. Because I don't care what the storm is, he's bigger. I don't care what you're facing, he's more powerful. I don't care how chaotic it is, when he says, "Peace, be still," it will be. He can bring peace even in the middle of your storms. We have to remind ourselves that God is in control. Instead of fussing at God about the storm, turn the storm on its head and thank God for the storm. Now listen, I'm not saying lie to God. I'm not saying, "God, I really love this storm." But I am saying, "God, even though I don't like this storm, I thank you for it because you have a plan in it." I'm not telling you that I have this nailed down in my life. However, given the truth that I know about God's word, I know that he has authority over the storm, and I know that he will see me through the storm. But here's the crazy thing about storms. If we will just wait and watch for God to work, we will see his hand move in a powerful way. Notice what the disciples say in verse 41. And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Folks, this is not some mythical statement. This is not some fairy tale. This is the absolute truth, the word of God. The disciples, even though they had spent time with him and seen him do incredible things, when they saw God calm the seas, all they could do was say, "Who is this?" We stand on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection, on this side of the ascension. His name is Jesus. He died in my place. He died in your place. He rose from the grave and he ascended to heaven so that right now he sits at the right hand of the Father so that you and I can have peace even in the middle of the storm. They didn't have the view we have. We're grateful for the fact that we know he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sovereign God. He is in control and he will see us through whatever storms may come up in life. I don't know what you're facing, but I know God is more than able to see you through. As I already shared this morning, we're going to share together in the Lord's Supper. We can do this today and we can have joy in this today because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. We have victory even in the face of our storms because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. The Word of God reminds us strongly as we come to this time not to do so lightly. I would remind you today that the Lord's Supper is for believers, for those who have placed their faith in Christ. You don't have to be a member of this church to participate in this today. As long as you have placed your faith in Christ, you can share in this together. We are a part of the family of God. I would caution you, if you have not placed your faith in Christ, simply let the plate go by, let the juice go by. Nobody will judge you. Nobody's here to look at you or stare at you or anything like that. But as believers, as followers of Christ, Paul warns us to examine ourselves. So as the deacons come and prepare to serve you, ask God to reveal your heart. Confess anything to him. And maybe, maybe, just maybe this morning, it's a storm that's causing you to doubt. Would you ask God to help you overcome the doubt by trusting him? Let God have his way right now as we celebrate this time together this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a blessing and a privilege it is to be able to come and celebrate this reminder, this ordinance that you've given us of the Lord's Supper. God, help us to first examine ourselves right now, to be honest before you, to be honest with ourselves. You already know the truth, but help us to be honest with ourselves and confess any sin that we've held in our heart. Lord, cleanse us that we might honor you as we celebrate this today. Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray that even now as we celebrate this, you would convict their heart and help them see their need to repent of sin and trust in you. God, thank you for this wonderful time of celebration. It's in your precious name we pray these things.